Tell you what, it's all about hitting that 5K. It's the race to 5K, 5,000 patrons. We hit that, we run a 5K around the Rose Bowl, 3.1 miles.
5K.
Right now I'm a little sweaty, yeah. The race to 5K begins now.
5K.
We're doing 5K.
3.1 miles.
3.1 miles. The Rose Bowl, that's 3 miles, that's 5,000 kilometers. My calves are burning. That's it, 5K. The race to 5K begins now. Join Patreon at patreon.com/officehourslive. If we hit 5K, we're running a 5K. That's the truth.
7-8-5-7-5!
I like having fun. I like to laugh. I like to meet people who can make me laugh. I like having fun. Yes, I like it to laugh. I like having fun to meet people who laugh.
From Glendale, California, it's Office Hours Live! Starring Tim Heidecker, DJ Doug Pound in the house, and Victor Berger IV. It is March 25th, 10 a.m. here on the West Coast! Noon out there in the Midwest, 1 p.m. in New York. And other times to be determined out there in the great merry old England. And what time is it in Hawaii? Anyone want to guess?
7:30.
Well, it would be on the hour.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Vic says 7. No way to know.
Well, without no. Never know.
We can call somebody.
Somebody from Hawaii needs to call.
Let's
in.
Call the... Let's call the Taco Bell in Maui. Oh, dear. I just saw that the show is live.
Uh-oh.
Bruh. On my Twitter right now. And a new, and I guess would be Periscope as well.
Okay.
So I'm just letting the world know. But I just saw myself and I didn't like what I see. I'm fearing that we're not out of the woods with this haircut, folks.
Very interesting.
What do we think, Doug?
Is this another haircut?
No.
Oh.
This is just what...
It's growing in nice, I think.
I just cut mine yesterday.
No, let's just not make it all about you, Doug. How could you?
Well, I have a long way to go before I look as cool as you, Tim. Honestly, look greater than me.
But I feel like it's a little too put together.
On the Zoom the other day, though, like I almost complimented your hair because like you had it was looking cool. I thought like
you almost did. Huh?
Tim, we should get hair and makeup people in here to make us look banged up.
Right. I think you're right.
Right,
we're looking too good.
I mean, the lighting in here is really good. Yeah. I have to say, I look very handsome in general, and everyone's always excited when I wear my Lacoste long sleeve polo. People always write me with compliments on that.
God creates man. God creates dinosaurs.
is that Jeff Goldblum there? Jurassic Park?
Probably.
Yeah, that was.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
How are you holding up, Doug? I know it's been rough.
Something like starting from the beginning feels like the right thing to do.
Okay, let's do that.
What do you mean it's been rough?
I don't know. Fine. I'm just causing
it's been a
trouble.
Rough time.
Let's say good morning to Zoomers out there. Many, by the way, producer Matt is working remote today. Good morning to you, Matt.
Sefe, Sef, Sefa, hi.
Sefe, Sef, Sefa, hi. Matt is in the mountains.
In the mountains.
And
okay. Great sunny day.
You know what I find is, I don't know, this is probably unique to, maybe it's unique to this, to Southern California or the fact that the industry is here, but something always, maybe this happens everywhere, but there's something that happens with the springtime, with spring break, that there, it's almost becomes this like month of everyone's on their own spring break schedule. So you have my kids, my daughter's spring break is 1 week, and then my son's is another week, and then my wife who's in college is another week, then all three different weeks. And then people take their own vacations, and then offices are closed some weeks. It becomes a whole spring break season, and it's impossible to get anything done. Oh, well, I'm not in the office that week. We're on spring break. Oh, we just wrapped up our spring break.
Oh,
so
he ain't that fudge.
Yeah. Matt, I guess, is on his spring break now. I guess I'll never take a vacation because all I do is work and make content and make art that people beg me for.
Why aren't you doing more of this? Why isn't there more seasons of that?
I'm in the studio again making music. Should I reveal who I'm making music with?
No.
There should be. No?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. I mean, I don't care. I don't make the rules.
I'm graciously under the command, under the assistance, the tutelage, under the partnership, under the working with, as they say.
Trent Reznor.
Mac DeMarco is helping me with my new record. Mac DeMarco, very successful young indie god. Me and him and Drew from the last Fear of Death album are plugging away, making a new record. So it's been fun. Guys are wondering why I'm not so active in the group chat. That's what I'm doing. I'm playing chords. I'm not doing hands-free. I'm doing real chords. I'm using G chord, C chord, F. Number of chords. Mostly major. Sometimes you do minor chords for bridges. Just to create a little atmosphere, a little mood. Minor chords never
hurt. What's the tone of the album?
Sad, nostalgic, quiet, very serious. Let's take a Zoomer. Good morning, everybody. Who do we have, Matt? Somebody is going to put me right today. Somebody can slap me around.
Eddie the Horseman. How may I direct you?
Okay. Eddie the Horseman?
Okay.
Horse Kid? What is your name?
We've
seen him before.
Eddie the Horse King. With
horse
his
king.
Yeah.
What is it, Eddie?
Yes. Let's go with Horse King.
What is it now, Eddie?
Just a couple. You know, I was curious. Curious about a couple things.
Yes.
Did you guys receive my gift, number one?
Did we receive your gift? Matt, did we receive his gift? We received so many gifts.
I answered him in the chat that I am away right now out of town, but I will be back tomorrow to retrieve his gift. I'm going to fly all the way home.
Oh, I think I know what it is.
What is it? What is it?
Drum roll, please.
Is it a surprise?
All right, it's the goddamn, it's a horse mouse pad.
Yay, my mouse pads are coming, finally. It's only been a week.
Nice.
I have terrible timing to not be around because I have a feeling that the box is full.
Full of mouse pads.
Mouse pads.
Well, it could be worse. It could be filled with mouse droppings. I appreciate your mouse pads. I said last week I'm in a really bad spot with my mouse pad right now. It's in really bad shape. Really bad shape. By the way, I'm also upset because that Suez Canal is all blocked. I'm waiting on a major shipment. I have a.
What do you got coming?
I have a ton of ancient Egyptian artifacts coming. I ordered this crate online, and supposedly, I'm getting a crate of a mummy, like a sarcophagus.
Wow.
Mummy, which are, they think, they the guy believes, is filled with jewels.
Absolutely free.
Can you believe that, Doug? And it's sitting there waiting to pass through the canal on its way to me. But it's going to come in this big wooden box with a bunch of straw, you know. And Vic, if you don't mind helping me out, we're going to crowbar it open.
Tim, it's not going to be some haunted. These aren't haunted mummies, are they?
I don't think so. I'm not worried about it. But I want you guys to be here when we open up that crate.
I don't know about this, Tim.
We're going to open up that crate and reveal that ancient sarcophagus from ancient Egypt.
I don't know, man.
What, you're scared?
Maybe he'd be cool and nice, you know?
Yeah, maybe there's jewels in there, man.
Give him a microphone. He can sit on that side of the table.
Do I get a cut of these jewels, or do I just have to be for the opening, the unveiling?
I'll pay you. I'll pay you for your assistance, okay? I'm keeping the jewels. I think it'd be great.
All right.
Oh, somebody says if you were getting something from Egypt, it would be faster not to go through Suez. Look at a map. All right, well, I just... Sorry all my bits can't be full 100% accurate. Sorry, you were curious about something else, weren't you? Sorry to interrupt you.
Tim, is there going to be any White House Nefertiti teas in there?
Some what?
Nefertiti teas.
I was curious about one more thing.
Got
it. Digital.
You know, I'm somewhat of a newish fan.
Welcome aboard.
Become somewhat acquainted with your musical tastes in the last year or so. And I've gotten the impression that you don't care for hip-hop or so. Mm-hmm. Hip-hop or so.
Hip-hop or so.
As much as these other genres.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, sure.
Slash rap music.
Sure. I think that's fair to say. I have the right to like or not like whatever.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Are there any acts at all, hip-hop wise, you know, in the last decade or so that you do appreciate?
No.
I'll tell you what, I came in here whistling today.
Like, zero.
So I don't know. If I say something, you're gonna laugh at me for being lame, or I don't know.
Yes, I'm going to do it.
You know, what is this?
As I understand, Doug Brothers.
Frank Ocean.
Prominent rap group.
Who?
My brother.
I believe Doug's brother is in a somewhat prominent rap group.
I don't think Doug has a brother. Oh, ELP? Yeah. Yeah, sure. Okay.
ELP.
I love Run the Jewels. I love Run the Jewels. There you go. Run the Jewels are top notch for me. They're the best.
And your jewels.
Somebody else.
Your jewels are coming here from Egypt.
It's not that I have like a particular disdain for any of it. It's just it doesn't. You know, there's a. I don't think about listening to it when I think about listening to music.
I found this guy called Twista. Maybe he's popular. I don't know. But he's from the 90s, and he's like in the Guinness Book of World Records for the fastest like speaking on a rap, and he's like. That was a pretty amazing album from 1996, I think it was.
I do have trouble because he's awesome. I think he's from Chicago. I can only comprehend so much, like the lyrics come out so fast, and sometimes it's hard to understand them, and I want to understand. Maybe you have to like read along or something. So first I wanted to ride the roller coaster with Coney Island, so I called Coney Island. They said, hey, kid, take it. But I have peace and I have nothing but peace and love for everyone. Listen.
You don't like... what's his name? Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if it's on, I'm not going to be like, fuck this, get it on. Like, you know, I mean, my kids will listen to stuff. And we were actually listening to some Snoop Dogg the other day and dancing in the kitchen. And it was very lovely. Of course, there's some bad language in there that I don't want my kids hearing.
I had Dr. Dre's The Chronic. And I was probably like 11 or something. My mom, I gave a copy of it to a friend of mine. And his mom came to my mom and said, your son gave me this. Gave my boy this.
Is that the one with those nasty, and then my mom hid it away. In the middle?
Yeah, there's skits in it. Yeah.
I don't have
the nut skit.
I mean, I guess I like the Beastie Boys. Yeah. You know, that stuff's cool.
Yes. The Beastie Boys is very, very good. It's full of hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You guys tell me what I should like and I'll like it, okay? Then we can move on. It's better than that Grateful Dead. Any rap is better than that Grateful Dead. All right. Thank you. Let's move things along now.
I'm about done. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, thank you. Get back to your Henry Kissinger book. Is that what you're pretending to read? What else? What do you have in there? Cracked magazine in between? Yeah, I know what you're really reading. Trust me. You got your Cracked magazine stuffed in there. Or you're mad. Or your comic books. True. Oh, boy. Look at this. What do you... What are you, Doris Kearns Goodwin? Boy, I feel bad for Doris. This is very nerdy, particular stuff here. But if you look at, I don't want to make fun of somebody for their appearances, but Doris Kearns Goodwin is an older woman who's now, she's written these amazing biographies, mostly of presidents. She wrote Team of Rivals about Abraham Lincoln and these FDR books that are great. She's
very interesting.
You know. She's like our historian laureate. Poet laureate. Yeah, historian laureate.
Mm-hmm.
But she's taken to wearing wigs, apparently, okay. I believe. I don't know if this is confirmed.
Is there a reason why?
I don't know, maybe she's lost her hair. Yeah. But she wears these wigs. And you know when anybody that wears a wig and then they start getting older and the hair volume and kind of youthfulness of the hair starts not matching the age of the person? Very much what's going on there.
Right.
So
I think you're specifically referring to the master class of hers.
I'm not.
that's got.
So stop chiming in, Eddie. I've dismissed you. You're not the my special guest, Eddie, the horse king, with your globe. You look at him. You're muted, Eddie. I love you, but I didn't ask. I'm talking about when she's on Meet the Press or one of these other shows. I'm not watching her master class on history. Go ahead, Eddie. One more thought. He's got one more thought, Eddie. Go ahead. We got to unmute you now.
Unmuted.
Tim,
All right.
Ahead.
I have a few teens here. This is, what do you think? This is one of my favorite artists ever. Kate Bush. What's your take?
Well versed enough to have an opinion. Yeah. I'll do a deep dive. I know she's very well respected. Sounds like something I'd be into. Thank you, Eddie. By the way, the Hothead Hotline is active today. Wes, is that correct?
Yep.
Anybody online? Should we go to the Hothead Hotline? I don't know. We didn't put the number out today.
Hey, Tim, I think maybe if...
Yeah, nobody's on yet. We haven't put the number.
Well, let's put the number up because the Hothead Hotline will be active today.
Yeah, baby!
The number is... Tell me when it's up. I don't have any...
Hey!
What's the number, Matt?
818-804-4478. I will put it in the YouTube chat. We don't want you Zoomers calling in,
no.
I should say.
All right, let's get to the... City of the Day, running behind as always.
Yeah.
City of the Day.
The City of the Day. City of the Day. Ain't much more to say. It's the City of the Day. City of the Day.
City of the Day. Day. Now listen, folks. City of the Day is brought to you by... City of the Day brought to you by Dr. Leonard Skinbeard. Are you a bearded man who wants the option to be bearded or beardless? Well, now you can, thanks to former plastic surgeon, former plastic surgeon, Dr. Leonard Skinbeard. Yes. Okay, so his name is his last name Leonard, or is his name just happens to be Skinbeard?
I think Skinbeard is probably the product.
Yes.
Yeah, I think his last name is Leonard.
Okay, Dr. Leonard. Simply fasten the lifelike skin mask on top of your beard. This is for our audience, by the way. Most of our audience in the male category of gender is bearded. Simply fasten the lifelike skin mask on top of your beard with their 24-hour glue, and your face becomes as smooth as the guy from Midnight Oil's head. Are you a rock and roller who's also a 9-to-5-er? No problem. Just slap on the skin beard, and the boss at your bread gig will finally stop riding your ass. As soon as you open the package, you'll be saying, "Give me 3 steps!" And those steps are... Place the skin beard mask over your beard, glue it, and then 3, splash your skin beard with Dr. Leonard's Sweet Home Alabama scented aftershave. If your beard left here tomorrow, would they still remember you? Call now and get one free beard. Go to skinbeard.face in the next 24 months and get a free goatee and flavor saver kit. Warning, do not wear skin beard for more than 24 hours. Glue will fuck up your face. And ooh, that smell will be bad. So wait a minute. This is a trick. This is a trick for us. We gotta get Leonard Skinbeard. Leonard Skinbeard. Where's Leonard Skinbeard? So that's a fun nod to the great Leonard Skinner. If anyone did I need to point that out, or is it self-evident? I can't tell. That pun might have gotten away from us there. I don't know. City of the Day is, I will not forget. City of the Day is Frostburg, Maryland, ladies and gentlemen. Frostburg, Maryland. Weather high of 70. Weather high of 70, low of 56. 56, the year rock and roll was born.
Who came out in 56?
Elvis.
Elvis was 57,
yep.
I think. So he was just recording it at that
time. Well, Rock Around the Clock came out in 56?
Yeah. 50. Bill Haley.
Bill Haley.
He invented rock.
Jerry Lee Lewis Chuck Berry. I'm trying to cue you up so you can do that rock Hall of Fame Hello, thing that you were playing yesterday.
Oh,
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Good.
Johnny Cash. Buddy Holly.
Golly.
Of course, Elvis.
Playing with my dogs.
Big Bopper.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh, they go out here
playing. Oh, never mind. You'll have to get that queued up for later. If you stick around to the end of the show today, folks, we're going to be launching our new, what do you call this? A new challenge to the Holy Trinity, the new challenge to get to 5,000 patrons. We have a new challenge that we're going to be announcing at the end of the show. 5K for 5K. A 5K run
Should we
for
just play 5K. It now?
You want to play it now?
Who cares? Yeah.
Oh. That wasn't part of the plan, Vic.
I'm just saying. I mean, a lot of people
it's
are watching
It's the race
now.
To 5K. All right, play
you
it.
No, they might zone out
just
by then.
Just play it.
Jim. Was the Big Bopper good at whack-a-mole?
Are you going to play it?
Is that what he was known for?
Oh, here we go.
Come on.
Hello.
Push, push.
Uh-oh. Ooh.
Tell you what, it's all about hitting that 5K. It's the race to 5K, 5,000 patrons. We hit that, we run a 5K around the Rose Bowl, 3.1 miles.
5K.
Right now I'm a little sweaty, yeah. The race to 5K begins now.
5K.
We're doing 5K. 3.1 miles.
3.1 miles.
The Rose Bowl, that's 3 miles, that's 5,000 kilometers.
Professor,
my calves are burning. That's it, 5K. The race to 5K begins now. Join Patreon at patreon.com/officehourslive. We hit 5K, we're running a 5K. That's the truth.
7-5-7 high!
Smells good. All right, that's the new challenge. We are we're less than 500 new patrons away from hitting the $5,000 mark. So when we hit that, we will do a live stream of Vic, me, and Doug running around the Rose Bowl for five. I mean, it was all explained in the video.
Seth, I'm not prepared for that yet. I'm taking long walks, but I'll easily do it. I don't think I could run it all at this point.
No, I have no. I'm gonna be lapping you.
One of us might drop.
Yeah,
I'll be lapping you.
I'm ready to check in on the Hothead Hotline.
Get my,
yes, anybody there on the Hothead Hotline want to yell at me?
512 You're on the air.
Thank you for calling. Anybody there?
Wait.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, what is it?
I have a question. What's a soup that you like and you don't like? Because I have a feeling one of you hates soup.
I got no issues with soup. I can't think of a soup I don't like. I probably wouldn't run to a cream of broccoli in an emergency. quick, make a cream of broccoli. Mulligatawny I could use less of in my life.
I'm not a gumbo guy. Is that soup? I don't know if that's a...
Well, that's a stew, dude.
Yeah, I'm not too into that.
What do you got?
Favorite is French onion or split
instant,
pea.
That's an instant diarrhea maker.
Oh, yeah, but worth it, though.
Comes right out.
I'm not trying to eat a cream of liver.
All right, no soup talk. No more soup talk.
Cream of human. I don't need that.
I got to say, folks, I was...
Cream of blowhole. It's whale safe. Have you ever had a whale safe cream of blowhole?
What is it? Just the blowhole? Is that like a part just of the anatomy that they can cook?
Just the tip?
They do plant-based blowholes now. Impossible blowhole.
They put a bottom on it and they use it as the bowl. Drop a bottom on that blowhole.
A blowhole in a bread bowl.
I've been I worked my way through this week with through the Zack Snyder Justice League. Maron.
Why?
Every night I worked through. Why?
Just
that's
so you
what
know.
People were wondering.
Yeah, why? Vic, let's hear it.
All right, I'll do it.
I wanted to hear what all the hub. I wanted to see what all the hubbub was about. Be part of the. I'm making an effort. I'm making an effort to sort of connect with popular culture a little bit, so I just know. I don't know. Just so I can see what's going on. I'm not. I like that. I watched that WandaVision, and I kind of got dragged into that, liking that. It's kind of fucking weird. It's a weird show. And then. But man, you got to see this though. What is going on back there? You guys are just
Superman music.
Oh, okay. From the original TV show. Yeah, well, the problem is like there's nothing fun about it. It's like full.
What's it called, Tim?
Zack Snyder's Justice League.
What's Justice League?
Well, it's like it's Batman, Superman, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Flash.
It's all of them together.
Cyborg guy.
Remember the League of Justice? That was good.
That's what that's it kind what it, of, yeah. It's like Super Friends.
Right, yeah. Super Friends. Yeah. That was good. Mm-hmm.
Where the hell are the Wonder Twins? It's like they don't even fucking exist.
Wait, did you say Rob Snyder cut it?
No.
Oh.
Zack Snyder.
Oh.
Dude from Sha-na-na. But here's the deal. It's 4 hours long. So I'm getting through like an hour and a half, an hour and 20 a night. So it's a 3 hour night movie. So
it's meant to be seen in one shot.
I don't know, but the special effects are very cheap. They feel very cheap. And like, I was saying, like, it looks like worse than the Lord of the Rings, and the Lord of the Rings is like 20 years old. So what's going on? I don't know what's going on. And, Lord Jesus is a fire. You know, it's so serious. And the one thing that really struck me towards the end, I was like, there's nobody else in this movie except the main characters. So dig this. If you want to show me Superman 2 or something like that, you're always going to get these shots of like crowds going like, oh, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Or a hot dog seller being like, oh shit. Like something. So I know that this is connected to the real world. This movie,
oh, shit.
It's like this weird play where they're all just, it's like always these one-on-one conversations. There's no like, there's this one funny scene where they're on this, out in front of this, in this park somewhere. And there's this battle going on between Superman and the other guys. Cause Superman doesn't know that he's Superman. It's very confusing.
Hmm.
They brought him back from the dead. And there's this one soldier in the park, like just one guy. And then he goes running away. But it's like, you guys got to make it feel like there's more people in this world than nine people. Show me crowds. Show me people getting blown up to bits. Body parts flying around. But you know what I mean? In those old Richard Donner Superman, it's like, you could see how the problems, like from whatever the bad guy is, are affecting the world. This thing, it's just like, whole cities are exploding and being covered in lava, and you don't see a soul caring about it. How am I supposed to care about it?
I mean,
that's a good question.
Personally, I prefer the more campy aspects of comic books, like Batman 66.
Yeah, yeah, that's
stuff
your
like
scene.
That. That's my that's kind your of scene. Thing.
You'd be happy serious. With you'd be happy with whoever was in charge of the monkeys to be in charge of all the superheroes.
Of course,
movies.
I would be. Yeah.
But then what happened at the end? So what I've been doing every night is I take these weed gummies, which help me go to sleep, help me stay asleep. And I wish I could be sponsored by them because they're very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a guy, I'm not a guy with that's token a lot and doing bong hits every day to
smoke
wake up.
Weed every day.
But I put a little of this gummy in me and it chills me out. And it puts me to bed like I'm a baby, like I need a pacifier. But so I take this shit and I took a little bit too much, I think, because I started getting real zoned out, you know. And the end of this movie, get this, Vic, end of the movie, this is now going on 3.5 hours. After 3 days, I see epilogue. Epilogue comes up. I go, okay, this thing's winding down. Another 30 minutes!
We'll be right back.
It's like a 30-minute epilogue. But then what happens is towards the end of this epilogue, it goes into this weird desert scene that you're like, I'm not sure where this is. It just suddenly goes to this scene and you're like, what's going on here? And then these characters that weren't in the movie are suddenly in there and Batman's walking around and there's all these weird bugs flying around. And I'm just, I get lost. And I start like having a panic attack because I'm like, am I not comprehending things right? Like, am I not able to understand basic, you know, storytelling here? Because I feel lost. I feel like I'm having a mental breakdown. And this goes on for 10 minutes. And the Joker comes out. Suddenly there's the Joker, Jared Leto, who's doing this weird bad impression of, what's her name? What's his name?
Caesar Romero.
No.
Jack Nicholson?
No, the Heath Ledger.
Oh, Heath Ledger. Oh, yeah.
And then, so 10 minutes of this weird world go by, and then all of a sudden, Batman wakes up from his dream. I'm like, this was a fucking dream? You're in 10 minutes on this dream? And that's the end of the movie? Marone!
I had a fucked up dream last night. I've been up since 4. But I had a dream that three of us and Matt were in a Kiss cover band. And later we had a big show that night. But 20 minutes before I'm supposed to leave, my tooth starts falling out. And I'm freaking out because my teeth are falling out. And I was like, I take it out. I'm like, I got to do the show. And then it's a stress dream of me trying to get to the venue, but there's all this traffic and shit. And I'm just like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then I get there and then you guys are already on stage. And I'm trying to put on my makeup and everything. And then I woke up at 4 a.m.
It's great.
So
I woke up with one of those things where I thought I heard the sound of like a big gate closing, you know? I'm like, ah, fuck. Nothing. Just my dumb brain. All right, let's take our first official guest today. Alex Ramirez Malice is here. Now, I hope I'm saying that right. Malice.
Yeah, that's right.
Hello, Alex. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Alex, you made the papers, you made the tabloids the other day. I'll just briefly tell the audience what's happening here. The New York Post says, what does NYC stand for?
That's New York City.
New York City. Oh, okay. I never heard that. I was called New York or Manhattan. New York City, I'll just say NYC. NYC man sells fart. We don't like to use the word fart on this show. We're going to change that to gas.
Past wind.
NYC man sells wind past for $85, cashing in on the NFT craze.
A mess.
And this is, in fact, you.
A massive stink.
How do you like that?
A mess.
Oops. Doug just texted me. Got to run to the bathroom.
What are you going to do?
All this fart talk. Alex, tell me about this. I understand you're a fan of the show.
I am a fan of the show. I'm a big fan of yours. So I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for having me. This just as the article states, the article is actually a little, the headline is out of date now. We've sold 6 farts at the time of right now, and we've also sold a 52-minute master collection, which is a bundle of farts, and that went to auction for around $400.
Wow.
We were able to sell it, yeah.
And when you say we, who's the we in this? You,
yes,
and your farts?
So, yes, and it's also a group of four other guys, so it's 5 of us, and we had this WhatsApp chain that we started at the start of the pandemic, at the start of shelter in place. You know, we're sending memes and whatever. Mm-hmm. And of course, somebody farted, and then another and another. And 1 year later, we had this 52-minute master collection recording of farts.
Yeah. And are they just recorded on your phone, or are you using decent mics?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, no, it's just like a WhatsApp chain, a thread that is exclusively farts. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is.
So who was the first? Was it you that sort of got clued into this NFT thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you know about that?
Just, you know, just kind of similar to the way most people seeing it in the headlines and stuff. I mean, I've been kind of following like you know, cryptocurrency and blockchain like any self-respecting bearded white 30 something does. And and so, you know, I'd messed around with it in 2017, lost a bunch of money, and then it came back around recently, and this NFT thing came out of that, and I saw the headline, that guy, this artist Beeple, sold a digital work of his at Christie's for $70 million, and I was like, what the fuck?
So can that? So I mean, for our uninitiated audience members who don't understand what NFT is, can you do the yeah. elevator pitch on it, the 30 second yeah. the minute long? I don't want to get into all the details.
Yeah, yeah. Stop me if I go too far. So NFT stands for non-fungible token. And it's basically like a digital certificate of ownership. It's basically a string of code that signifies ownership of anything, of whatever right. it claims to be. And it lives on the blockchain. So it lives in this space that can't be, it can't be like hacked. It can't be changed, you know, like.
Pause there for 1 sec, because this yeah, is one yeah. of my issues. And I'll just say where I am on this. I'm slightly in agnostic about it, to this, almost to the point of it's kind of cool. I like the idea behind it, sort of the general philosophy of it and the way an artist right. can keep control of what they create. When somebody says can't be hacked, my radar goes up, because I go, come on. That's right. just so an invitation for exactly. problems.
It can be hacked in the sense that somebody could get like your login info, your they call it the private key.
Sure.
You know, if you were dumb enough to sort of send that out, then yeah, you're totally hackable. What can't be hacked is just the data itself, in mm-hmm. the sense that like there are so many copies of it all around the world at these different nodes. There's right. these copies of the blockchain. So if somebody managed to get into like one of these servers or whatever and changed the code to say, I suddenly have 1 million Bitcoin, all of the other servers around the world were sort of like cross-check it and make it void.
Right.
So it's, they call it like a trustless system, because it doesn't require humans to verify whether it's accurate or not, the sort of this decentralized network. And I think you're right to be sort of agnostic about it, because especially in the context that blockchain and definitely NFTs are being presented, where it's like, this is really cool technology that will very likely be totally integral in our lives in yeah. the next like 10, 20 years. But right now it's absolutely overrun with speculators and right. greedy people, and who are just like, the amount of value that is being put into this is so like mismatched to the actual use case of these technologies.
Right. So when you put up this far, you're obviously doing it as a joke,
right.
and sort yeah. of a commentary on the how silly and speculative the whole thing is.
Exactly.
Yet you still get a live bite, and somebody that's real money. Now yeah. that money is not cash. It is in the cryptocurrency yeah, at the moment.
It's Ethereum.
Right.
It's Ethereum.
And you could cash out of that and have
yeah
$20 bills or whatever. You can have whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's all these like fees, you know, like right. it's actually ironically called gas fees to move the money around and to right. do things with it. So
now what do you say to the folks?
In my wallet, yeah.
What do you say to the folks that that have issues with crypto because of the environmental impact?
I think that they're 100% right, and that needs to be talked about way more.
This is what my platform is for. Is
yes,
to bring that
yes, exactly. Yeah, Bitcoin and
sorry,
and
Cammy, I scared Cammy in the Zoom. I could tell she's like, oh shit.
When we're talking about the environment, people need to be scared. I read some stat that like the Ethereum network across the world, the maintenance of it uses more energy in a year than the entire country of Ireland.
No, so fuck Ireland. I mean, they're doing is drinking whiskey, and they're not spending a lot of energy. So that's not a great comparison. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I love them. I love them. I love them.
I love them too, because I was actually invited to speak on Ireland's second most popular radio station a couple of days ago, and did an interview, on this news radio show, this super serious, respected anchor who was like, now tell me about your farts and what different kind of farts
you must be. I mean, you're the fun story at the end of the hour for the news networks. Like,
yeah.
And finally today, would you buy a fart from a guy selling them? Let's talk to the guy. He's done it. That dude with the shrimp. And I heard him. He was that shrimp cinnamon toast crunch thing. I don't even want to get into that. That's a mess.
Mm-hmm. I mean, anytime that this is talked about, I've found it particularly entertaining because in one breath, people are like talking about the satirical elements of it and sort of like how the art market is rapacious and greedy. Right. And then the next minute dissecting the particulars of different kinds of farts that we reported. And it's in the same kind of thing, which I think is pretty perfect.
Well, the only value I could see being attached to what you did there is that because of the notoriety it got or the attention it got, it will forever be a moment captured about this thing that's happening in culture, and so that there will be some value in the future for that alone, just because it is what it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, like, the ultimate irony would be that these farts become super desirable and start selling and trading and become just as valuable as some of these other prominent sales that are happening, kind of in the same way that like Banksy or whatever makes like anti-capitalist messaging and then his pieces get like hacked out of the wall and sold on Christie's for $1 billion.
Right.
It's like, well, the rate at which commodification and co-option happens is so fast that like you put out this satirical message and even before you hit send, it's already being co-opted and sort of subsumed by the culture.
Well, listen, my thing is like, if you're an artist making stuff, like I think Eric and I are going to put one up to see how it does or what it does. I know other people, I've talked to like other artists or musicians and people like that. They're like, you know what? Let's just fucking put something up and see what the hell happens. Why not cash in on something if we're in this weird bubble without really worrying about too much like what it is or what it means? Because, you know, if it's something that doesn't have real value to me, like something, you know, let's say an old Tim and Eric video from 20 years ago that just doesn't really do anything except live on the internet and live in people's, you know, it's on YouTube on some random account. Well, I'll put that up. You can own that. I don't care. I'll take a piece.
And the funny thing about it is like, if you put that up, you're not even selling like the copyright. You're not even selling the file. You're just selling like the idea of ownership. You're selling like a badge of honor. You know, we could just, you can sell literally anything. And in that sense, it's sort of silly. But the good thing that about it, that like, you know, in terms of potential, is that it does have this built-in equity. So like if I mint something, that's what the process of creating is called minting. You do that, you can build in a percentage for that you get during resale. So if I sell a fart for $100 and then that sells for $1,000, I get 10% of that sale.
What I was going to,
that's a good thing.
I was going to mint something. Tell me if you think this is a good idea. The picture of me that my son took where I look horrible with my hair and my beard. Just mint that picture. That's a cultural moment in time on our show. And really, it's just like the speculation is sort of like for Tim and Eric, I think there is a sense probably amongst the broader investing and art kind of world that there will be 20, 30 years from now, some value in like some of our work to them because it, you know what I mean? Like, not to pat myself on the back, but some of that will be like considered like, oh, this is the first Tim and Eric video. Like, oh, they were, you know, not respected in their age, in their time, but they are.
Well, it depends who you ask. I mean, you guys should totally do that. You have, I mean, to be, you know, totally straight with you, you guys have like a reach and an audience and putting something like this out. And even if you're like, this is satire, you're kind of a dumbass if you buy it. Like that'll only make people hungrier.
Yeah. You have to be really, cause like the Twitter snarky, goofing on this stuff, which I'm, you know, I get into in my own ways all the time too. You have to be careful not to just immediately dismiss or discount something because it seems a little weird or unusual. It's easy to, if something's really easy to make fun of really quickly, that there's a chance that maybe it's actually something interesting. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the snarky Twitter people can just be like, you know, I'm sure there's a million of them, but I think it's good to always check yourself to make sure you're not just like jumping to a conclusion about something.
Exactly. Like NFTs have this potential to be a good equity model for artists. They have a blockchain technology has a good potential to take power away from
labels or
corrupt centralized institutions or whatever. But greed and speculation is totally subsuming that right now. And that needs to be made fun of, and that needs to be, ridiculed. Well said.
Well done.
I was wondering if there was going to be five, some of my own farts. I was like, do I play mine?
So let me ask you this practical question. Then I'm going to move it along. How do people actually go? Like, where does this live right now? Where can people find this silliness?
Well, you can find our silliness. We made a website, flatulence.space.
Mm.
That's the website that you can go, and you can kind of get a sampling of our different farts. And then there's links there that go to these different online stores that basically function like eBay. The one that I use, that's the easiest, it's called OpenSea.io. And you can go there and mint anything. And so the actual NFT basically has like this 100 megabyte upload space, and you can put anything there, audio, video.
Right.
And that's more like, that's like the cover of the book. That's like the storefront of the, or the more like the cover of the book. And that says, but that doesn't actually have to be the thing you're selling. That's just kind of like the flash.
Right.
I would warn your audience, I would say like it costs basically $150 to set one of these up.
Right.
So unless unless you have some kind of followers or like a potential buyers, it's like it is potentially a money pit.
Is it $150 per thing or just to set up? No,
thankfully not.
Right. Just to set up a space, a storefront. Exactly. Right.
Can I ask a question? Exactly.
Doug, a question to you.
Now, the fart recordings, were you wearing pants or is this a clean fart straight off of the butt? The raw
butt? Good question.
That is a good question. It kind of depended, some of them were, it was kind of like a substrate issue, are you on the couch? Are you on a hardwood floor? How close is the mic? How far?
Many of them are
mic?
Filtered through fabrics.
Yeah. Fabric filtration was definitely an issue that we were kind of working through, reworking throughout.
Okay.
Vic, any questions from you?
That affects the value from my point of view.
What's it going to look like in 20 years, 30 years? Oh,
what is he, Nostradamus?
What's it
going
to smell like? Just in general, like not just your farts, but like if I would ever use these or, because you said they're going to be,
it's tough to say what it's going to look like in 20 years. Thanks for your honesty.
I would say that like there'll be one or two.
He said everyone's going to be using them down the line.
This moment that if I were to guess, it'll be kind of like artifacts of the moment. But the vast majority, I think, will be completely valueless, our farts included.
Yeah, cool. I agree. But get in while the getting's good, as they say.
Exactly.
And, who knows? Who knows? I think it was explained to me well by some video I watched about it where, the younger generation, my daughter and older and younger, but most, starting at the lowest of my daughter is 7, they're living in a lot of ways, they're living a lot of their life and a lot of their time in these virtual worlds where there is real value in digital things. Like, if you're playing a video game, buying certain skins or certain tools or certain things that only will ever exist in a virtual way. And so, but they're attaching real meaning, real value to these things, and they never really need to exist in a sort of tactile, three-dimensional way. They will always be in the world of cyberspace. So they're going to grow up having real emotional attachment and appreciating value of things that only exist in the digital space. So
well said.
That's not going to
go.
Well said. That's not going away.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Something's about to burst. Is that it? Burst or bust?
Bust.
Bust. Something's about to bust. Of course. Alex, good luck to you. What do you do besides sell farts? Anything else you want to promote or talk about?
Yeah. I'm also a filmmaker. That's kind of my prime thing. I'm a documentary filmmaker, music videos and things like that. The plug would just be to check out my website, alexmalice.com, or follow me on Twitter.
Are you out there in New York?
Yeah, I'm in Flatbush, Brooklyn.
All right, Alex, maybe we'll meet you in person one day. Thank you so much.
That.
Good
Thank
luck
you.
To you.
Take care.
Thanks very much.
All take the best. Care. Let's take a Hothead Hotliner if there's anybody out there. I'll let these guys go for a second. Let them get their fart dropped.
I didn't touch a single fart drop.
I know, that's, yeah.
Holding back. Two on the nose.
Yeah, baby!
Nobody has the movie I want.
Anybody on the Hothead Hotline?
732, are you there?
732 on the Hothead Hotline. How can I help you today?
Yeah. Hey, Tim, this is Bruce from Freehold, New Jersey. How you doing, man?
Bruce from Freehold, New Jersey. What's your last name, Bruce?
Oh, I think you already know, Tim. It's Mr. Bruce Springsteen here on the line.
Mr. Bruce Springsteen from the podcast Renegades, Born in the USA. How are you today, sir?
Oh, I'm great, Tim. It's great to talk to you. We're a big fan of Vic Berger. Mr. Barack Obama and I have look forward to the next episode of that, guys, because you'll be hearing a lot about Vic on that one. Our experiences here in America and listening to you, Tim, and all the positivity you bring. I wonder, what's your favorite Bruce album?
Oh, I've spoken about this. I believe my favorite Bruce album is Darkness on the Edge of Town. That's my officially, I'd rank it.
Tim, that is great.
Darkness, I mean, Born to Run is kind of perfect, even though it's a little overplayed. And then I would say The River and Nebraska, everything really and then Born in the USA. Give that one a re-listen. It sounds fucking great. You know what song I like on there? No Retreat, No Surrender.
What's that?
No Retreat.
Absolutely, especially now.
And then Bobby Jean. Dude, Bobby Jean, are you kidding me with that? What's amazing is Bobby Jean's sitting there as a deep cut, and it's one of the great songs. And it's so pretty. It's so sad, too.
Bobby Jean. Just listening to that. I know. It's true, Tim, you know? Let me tell you, next time you fellas are out here, Sandy Hook, love to do a couple tequila shots with you and Doug and Vic. And
all right, well, let's do it safely, not while we're on our hogs. Hey, do you ever go riding on your motorcycle with Billy Joel?
I haven't talked to Billy in probably 20 years.
That's not true. I saw you guys at a concert together a few years ago. All right, Bruce.
That's great.
Take care.
Thanks, Tim. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Son of a bitch doesn't even attempt to do a Billy Joel impression.
Or Bruce expression.
Loser, somebody online just said, please don't get into the NFT thing, even if the fucking fart guy is telling you to. Fuck off. Do whatever I want. Why? Why do you care? What does it matter? Nothing matters. Don't you get that, Vic?
I get it. Nothing.
Nothing. Write it down three times.
Nothing matters.
Nothing matters except you and your family and your friends and your devotion to Christ. Vic and Doug, your devotion to Christ is more important than anything. Get on your knees and thank him.
What if we did this show on our knees, like, you know, at church, on the kneeling, that little kneeling
stool,
bar?
The kneel stool.
What if me and you were kneeling?
Holy ho, I love it. Ho, you guys are freaking because I'm out of the shot, but I'm down here on my knees. You can't see me, can you? Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. You sacrificed your life, and 3 days later you rose from the dead like Superman in Justice League. Do you know that song? Oh,
please
Jesus
rise.
Is
Tim, you
like
have to tell us whether to rise or to...
Oh, yeah.
Jesus is like Superman. He flies all through the night. He has superpowers and he flies all through the night. He's got X-ray vision and he wears a cape. Jesus has a beard, but Superman wears a skin beard.
Skin cape. What if there's a bad guy with a skin cape?
That was some terrible song improv for me. I really lost my will.
No one's going to be remixing that one, huh?
No, no one's taking the stems out of that.
Cups isn't coming in.
Oh, I can work. I'll work on that. I'll do my Jesus is my Superman. He flies all through the night. Jesus should have had an alter ego that was around back then too. So that Jesus turns into, you know, he's like a normal guy during the day. Oh, you remember Levi could be his name. Oh, Levi, you know who he is. He's Jesus. He turns into Jesus.
Who?
He walks on water. I'm saying he's got like a like Clark Kent in Superman.
Oh, gotcha.
They just went straight Jesus the whole time.
Superhero all the time.
That way he'd get out of that crucifixion. He'd be like, man, I don't know who that guy was walking across the water.
Sets up some innocent guy.
I'm Levi. I don't know how to walk. I can't do no miracles. I'm just a regular dude. Yeah. A lot of fishy stuff about that whole Jesus story if you just really get down in the nitty gritty details.
What kind of wine do you think he turned that water into?
Chablis, they say. They say it was Chablis.
Thank you, Jesus.
I think it was, who's the one that Orson Welles?
No!
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's that brand?
I don't know what brand
that is. Let's take a Zoomer because we have another special guest coming in a few minutes, and I don't want to ignore my Zoomies.
Sell no wine before.
My Zoomers.
Louis Gallo.
Nick Brelou, Matt. Can we get Nick Brelou in the picture?
French champagne.
Hello, Nick.
Champagne. Hey, what's up?
Speaking of Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is my pandemic hair.
What are you, Billy Crudup?
Jesus Christ!
What do you think you are, Billy Crudup? Anyways, how can I help you today?
Absolute silence.
I know you are a fan of music documentaries, so I thought I'd promote mine.
Okay.
It was a student film I made about 8 or 9 years ago about a rock festival that took place here in Louisiana in 1971. And it was a big disaster.
Mm.
It's only half an hour long, so you can watch it on YouTube or on the website for free. It's called McRae 1971.
McRae? How do you spell that?
McCrea.
Who are the top billed acts on the...
Beach Boys.
Okay, now Vic's going like, wait, what? 71 Beach Boys. That's interesting.
That's a good era.
It had a pretty big lineup, but the whole festival kind of turned into a disaster. So only about 10% of the acts actually played.
Okay. And did Hulu do another version of their documentary?
Well, it's funny you mentioned the Hulu, Firefest doc, because when those docs came out a few years ago, a lot of my friends were calling me to ask me if I'd seen them because Firefest was like this festival on steroids.
All right. Well, I'll watch the thing that's on steroids.
I'm having trouble finding it. What is it called again?
I don't know.
McRae.
I'll watch the thing that's worse. That's all right. Worse.
N-E-C-R-A-Y. Is that right?
McRae.
I can't hear it.
M-C-C-R-E-A.
Oh.
R-E-A.
Oh, okay.
McRae.
Also, unrelated, another music topic. My dad was in a British rock band in the 70s and 80s called Dr. Feelgood.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Wow. Wait, they're British?
Yeah. I was born there.
That's the group that's cover of the Rolling Stone, right?
No, I mean, they did a lot of covers.
What was that? What was that band? Cover of the Rolling Stone.
I don't know.
They did a lot of covers, and my dad was actually...
Thinking of Captain Hook and the Medicine Show or something like that, right?
Yeah.
What was your band was called? Your dad's band was called... Oh, Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show. You ever see that video, Vic?
Yeah.
Of them playing? It's insane.
Is this them?
That's them, yeah.
Nice.
My dad helped found Stiff Records.
Oh wow, here we go.
They were kind of,
Nick Lowe's birthday was yesterday. That's Stiff Records, right?
Yeah, Nick Lowe wrote a lot of their songs.
Oh wow.
Okay. There is a good documentary about them by Julian Temple.
About your dad's band?
Yeah.
Dr. Feelgood.
It might be on Netflix, I'm not sure, but it's called Oil City Confidential.
Okay. Well, thanks for the recs.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Enjoy. And thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for being who you are.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Now.
Oh, you got to find this Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show is so up our alley. It's like unbelievable that you haven't seen it. Hey, Ray. This is just.
Tell them who we are.
This isn't the video I'm thinking of. But big rock singers, it's like they can't believe that they're a band. Like it's like they snuck in to what is that? There's a great video of them on like a cable access show, and the guy was just gone. Man, he was just like just wasted, and he wears a eye patch. It's very cool. Maybe it's this. Any video of them is pretty wild. They're just. Well, we're big rock singers. We got golden fingers. This guy looks like trouble.
Who is this guy?
What's Dr. Hook?
Oh,
that was from 1980.
Do you know who his dad's band is, or did you just think it was Dr. Hook?
I just thought it was Dr. Hook. I have heard of that band, no question about it. Are you kidding me? Oh, this is the one. This is insane.
You want to drop in the show doc?
Yeah. I mean, we might get, but we'll play it on After Hours. I'll give you a second to figure it out. Whip. Your name is Whip.
Whip.
Putting it at 11:10. Anyways,
this is Skunk Baxter.
All right.
You want to play a little bit of this, Vic? Yeah. This is pretty fun.
This is the all-star once-in-a-lifetime live jam. Dick Clark.
And Greg Allman. Sheila E.
What is this, the 40th anniversary of American Bandstand?
It might be. I don't know. I think it's like 1990.
Is the audience just here in the audio?
It was here in the audio, yeah. So
we gotta watch it.
Yeah, all right, we'll play this later.
We'll play that
it gets
after
it gets funnier and
Max
funnier.
Weinberg and goes downhill from there.
Because it's the visual component.
Yeah, you gotta see it.
And just the list of people you can't believe. I like that pounding. Lita Ford is playing with Donny Osmond like right. Next to it. They're like jamming with each
and
other.
Frankie,
Lita Ford looks a little embarrassed to be there.
And Frankie Avalon is there and he's playing the trumpet for some reason.
Matt, do we have our 11 o'clock guest here?
Yes, of course, Jolene.
Of course. Right there. Don't give me that.
Messaged you in the chat.
No, I don't see it.
That our guest is here.
I don't see that in the chat.
It's on you.
Oh, okay. I see it there now. My apologies.
Hi, Jolene.
Jolene.
Hello.
Jolene, thank you for joining us. This is Jolene Levid, who is one of the founders of Affirm. And Affirm is an all-volunteer grassroots anti-imperialist transnational feminist women's organization. Jolene, are you there? Can you just say hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Hi, there you are. It's this annoying thing where you have to speak for me to see you, which feels maybe connected to the world we're living in today. To be seen, you must be heard. Could work as a slogan.
Hi, everybody.
Jolene, thank you for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
I feel...
Even though I'm not that funny.
You're not that funny, but I'll take care of the jokes. I'll handle the jokes. We've got plenty of jokes. You know, I feel bad because there was last week, or I don't know when this was, time becomes very hard to pin down, but there was the terrible incident in Atlanta, and we talked about it on the After Hours show last week, but we didn't get to talk about it last week, And I don't think it feels like the moment has passed yet because it's very much an ongoing problem. But we did want to take a moment and talk with you about what's happening at the moment with the, you know, this sort of anti-Asian current that's running through the world right or the country right now. And can you just start by telling me a little bit about your organization and what you guys do and what you want to see happen?
Sure. Hi, everyone. So I'm with Affirm, which is an all-volunteer organization that has about 14 chapters across the U.S., Puerto Rico, and Hawaii. We're all women of color. We fight against the trafficking of women and children. We fight for immigrant women's rights. And we fight against militarism in all of its forms, which connects a bit to today's talk. And I'm really happy to be here. I'm based here in Los Angeles, born and raised, daughter of immigrants.
Where from?
I'm from Northeast LA, and I went to high school in Boyle Heights.
Oh, where are your family? Where's your family from?
Ah, my family is from the Philippines, from the northern part of the Philippines. Nice. Yeah.
So that's a big task you have in front of you. Your object. It's a big, shitty, terrible world where the things you're against are very prominent and running the show these days. But what have you seen happen, you know, basically since COVID with sort of the China virus talk and all that stuff? How has that kind of trickled down into, you know, the way some of these dummies are thinking about their neighbors?
Yeah, I think your question starts off the correct way, right? With the quote, China virus, right when the pandemic hit, that was what Trump was calling it. And since the pandemic, we've seen about a 350% increase in incidents of violence against Asian Americans, Asians, and people that are perceived as Asian American. That's anything from like yelling and spitting to incidents of like violence and what we saw in Atlanta, which is murder. And interestingly enough, and sadly, people have been targeting our elders.
Hmm.
And people have been targeting women. So those two groups.
What is that? Like, is that, are they scared of Asian, younger Asian men that they don't want to, like, you know?
I don't know if this is like a Bruce Lee stereotype in people's minds where they don't want to, like, can I say fuck? They don't want to, like, fuck with men who might fight
back.
Can't
say fart, but you can say fuck.
Okay, awesome. So it might be a little bit of that. You, like, pointed that out, right? That's correct. And I think that, like, with the stereotypes, people see these two groups as vulnerable or, like, easy targets,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. What's interesting, though, is when you come from one of the groups that is targeted, like, for example, for Filipinos, those are some of the most revered people in our community.
Right.
Right? They're the ones that you look to for, like, knowledge, for generational wisdom, women. In the Philippines before the Spaniards came were revered as like the core of a community.
Yeah.
Right. You can't even go to battle without a woman's blessing from your tribe.
Right.
So the media here sees these groups as the most vulnerable and as the most powerless, but in our community, these are like the pillars.
Right.
And I think that that's what's so painful about the targeting of Asian American elders and women.
What about sort of under the undercurrent of, you know, there's this explicit violence. Obviously, the shit in Atlanta is awful and part of like a probably a lots of different layers of problems with gun access and mental health and sex worker abuse, or, you know, just the there's like a million. There's like so many issues with that story alone. But you're also looking at how the Asian community has bared the brunt of a lot of what's happened with COVID because there's so many working in the healthcare industry and in sort of more, you know, service-oriented industries where it's really affected the community that way.
Exactly. Yeah. So what's ironic about the targeting of Asian Americans is that Filipino nurses, for example, make up 3% of all nurses in the U.S.
That's the percentage of the chance of me having a heart attack in the next 10 years, by the way. We discussed that. It's a very low percentage.
I'm glad you're staying healthy.
Yeah. But that's a large, that's a large percentage of yeah. population.
Yeah. Yeah. It's only 3%, but they're over 30% of all deaths.
Wow.
Of Filipino, of nurses in the U.S. So I lost three aunts that are registered nurses, right? Wow. Like they're on the front line. They never took a break. My mother was 3 years past retirement age and she worked all last year during the pandemic in the clinic here testing COVID patients, right? So they're like the front line of the front line, overrepresented in ERs and the ICUs. They're the people that you're going to see when you walk in and you say, I think I might have COVID.
Right.
Or the people that are going to be taking care of you when it's too, like almost too late. Right. Both my sister-in-laws are ICU nurses right now. And
what are they, what kind of change are they looking to see happen? Like that's practical, that can happen.
From the beginning, and even through this latest surge here in LA, and actually all of California, they've asked for pretty fair things. One is PPE. So probably the first 6 months, and these are ICU nurses, right? They'll get like one mask per shift.
Ugh. Give them as many masks as they want.
Yeah. Yeah. Like real sick time was another thing.
How many do you want? 20? Go ahead. Take 20. What the hell?
Technically, every time you see a patient, you're supposed to change the mask.
Yeah.
Right? Just in case. Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing I cut you off? I'm already so mad about that first thing.
I'm pissed off too. The second thing was like real sick time. So nurses were being told if they think that they have COVID to try to ride it out until they can't work anymore.
Ugh.
Yeah. Putting them in danger, putting their patients in danger, their families in danger, right? Like you see a lot of nurses when it wasn't as cold in LA, cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were like in tents in their garages, trying to keep their families safe.
Right.
Because they didn't have enough PPE. Like they, you know, so there's some really basic, human rights, not just worker rights things that they were asking for.
Fuck. What are we going to do about this?
Yeah.
What the hell? We got to keep these people, like these people make like, they're like the foundation of a functioning society to make sure these people are protected and paid well and respected. What can people do? What can my audience do in practical terms to, you know, help affect some kind of change or do something to make them feel like they did something?
Yeah. So what we're doing is we're documenting all of this. I'm going to put in the chat, there's this website, gunlungun.net, and you could boost it. It's on Twitter too. And
Gunlungun.
You know, Gunlungun. Yep.
What does that mean?
It means shelter or resting place.
Simple shelter.
Yeah, what it is a dual thing. One, we're collecting data that the government wasn't. So all of these deaths were kind of invisible, right? To folks on the ground, like for example, the Department of Public Health, they weren't naming our dead.
Right.
Just the simple act of naming our dead.
Yeah.
And then we're also memorializing those that have fallen. And this is all volunteer. There's no funding. We don't get anything. So we're just paying out of pocket. So if folks want to donate a few bucks, you know, we every time we get to $200, that's paying for the website for the year.
Okay. Well, we'll chip in. We'll all chip in, everybody, right?
Yeah. That's
this is our cause for the day, and we don't want to forget it.
Thank you.
Jolene, thank you. And, you know, we just wanted to have somebody come on and talk. And so A Firm also, I mean, I keep thinking of that Tom Cruise, John Grisham movie, The Firm. This is not that. This is AF. So it's AF3IRM.org.
This is, I'll put it in the chat too, AF3IRM. And that's us on Instagram and Twitter. And then AF3IRM.org is the website.
And people can dive in there and support it as much as they can, as much as they want to.
Yeah, we've been around since 1989. We don't have a 501c3. Everything is all volunteer. Everything is run by donations. So anything that you want to give, we'll take it.
That's, okay.
Yeah, we just do this work in the morning, at night. And like, I'm on a break right now from work. This is all just from the heart. So.
Well, thank you, Jolene. And you're doing great work. And I appreciate you talking to us about this terrible situation.
And thank you for having me, everybody. Good to see you all.
All right.
Solidarity.
Bye, Jolene. Take care.
Bye. Thank you.
There you go, Vic. Jim Gardner is not part of the solution. He's part of the problem.
He's pushing stereotypes, probably.
What's that?
He's probably pushing stereotypes.
Oh, yeah. He's one of the... He's not a good guy.
Bad Jim.
Man, I keep getting dinged. You know, there's this article that came... I talked about this a few weeks ago. There's this article that came out the other day about the all gas, no brakes, Andrew Callahan situation. New York Times comes out with this article about the problem, the situation where he stopped working with this company that was doing it. And
he had to quit his own show, basically.
He quit his own show. And we're named in the article because Andrew's working with us, or we're helping him with this project.
Right. Why'd you get him fired?
This is the thing. People just jumped to this conclusion. This guy wrote me yesterday on Twitter, goes, "Fuck off, Tim Heidecker and Eric Wareheim," with a link to that article. I'm like, the fuck did I do? I did nothing. If you read the article, it makes it very clear what the details of that breakup were or are. And it's like, what, people are so ready to cancel, ready to be mad, ready to find. And all I'm trying to do is just help the kid with some, you know, like, it's nothing like, it was completely independent of whatever relationship is happening with us. I don't know. It's just like, and I shouldn't care, but I do. Because I told you before, I'm sensitive. Nobody respects that about me. Yeah, know what I mean? Well, what else do we have, folks? I want to shout out to Nick Lutzko. Came out with a new music video this morning. Let's play a little bit of this. This is fun. Nick Lutzko made a name for himself. Big fan of Nick Lutzko here. He's got a new song called The Beatles Part 2. Let's play just a little bit of this. Nick's always real sweaty in his video.
He's like in his sauna.
Yeah. Seems like you could pat that down a little bit before going live.
Whatever. That's what he wants, that like sweaty, passionate guy.
But you can watch the rest of it at Nick Lutzko's
YouTube or
Twitter, wherever. You know how to find
Nick. Online.
Let's take another Zoomer here. It's been quiet for us. We have not talked. Matt, do you have anybody in mind?
You can buy it on iTunes, Amazon.
I do. Give me one sec here.
Affirm on Venmo, if you want to give to them, is at AFFIRM-National. Send them $50. Say it's from me.
And we will donate all the super chats today. There were a handful that we will along to them as well.
Wow. I love that.
Let's talk to Scott.
Scott!
Formerly Scott and Kimberly.
Uh-oh. Oh,
just Scott.
Scott, what happened?
Had a parent teacher conference and forgot to change the name.
But is everything okay with you and Kimberly?
Everything's fine. We're still together.
Okay. What's going on there with your background? You're a big power supply nut?
No, it's actually my job. It's just the background, though. AEP, you might get energy.
All right, good for you. Keeping things running. How much of the Bitcoin, how much crypto is running through your system back there?
Millions and billions.
So how can I help you today, Scott?
Hey, what's the first show you're going to see post-pandemic? What do you got tickets to?
Nothing. I'm done seeing live entertainment in any form.
Dead in company, man. Probably.
You know what I got? I was talking to a friend the other day about just like generally rock concerts and how the sound, almost always the sound is not good. And the thing is, they have these shows in theaters or some kind of place for a rock show, and the bass is so loud, and the drums are so loud, everything else has to then go up. But then they don't always put the vocals up, so you end up like, I can't really hear what the guy's singing about or the gal. And I was talking to my friend. He says, when I was on tour with Roger Waters, who was in this guy, Drew, who I work with, was in Roger Waters' touring band. And he says, this engineer, the sound guy for their tour with, what they do, what he does is he basically takes all the bass out of PA, out of the mix. And because of the room itself, he tunes it to the room so that so much bass is just coming naturally throughout the room. So you don't need a lot of it coming through the speakers. And I was thinking, you know what? I saw one of those Roger Waters shows. It sounded pretty good. So I think it's always it's like this diminishing returns as they try to make it louder and louder. The sound becomes harder and harder for me to enjoy the music. So I don't know who I'm going to see.
I personally have no interest in going to see a live show at night. I just like to go to bed early.
I know.
But I am going to go see a Bob Baker Marionette Theater show.
Okay.
That's my first
thing. Well, I don't want to go anywhere where I have to stand either. The idea, this con that we got into with rock shows where I'm going to go see Pavement or something, or Wilco, and I'm going to stand there. I'm going to stand there for 2 hours. And I'm not really dancing or anything. I'm not dancing because it's not really dance music, but.
Well, yeah. I'm skipping shows.
Standing there and then, like, you start, oh boy, my back. Oh. Okay, we're going to come out and do another half hour. Oh, okay.
But if you're on stage, wouldn't you rather see people, like, kind of up and, moving around a little bit at least? And I mean, I went to see Crosby and Nash. At the State Theater, I fell asleep. Like, just sitting there, so low-key.
Well, for comedy, it's almost always seated, and that makes sense. We're like, I want you to be comfortable, and so that you can laugh, so you're not your bunions aren't bothering you. But, I don't know. I'm 45 years old. I can't stand for 2 hours watching guitar solos,
Hi, Dad.
With the sound too loud and the fucking bass.
Some of the only exercise people get is standing at an indie show, nodding their head a little.
Anyways, thanks for your curiosity. Your curiosity inspires me to be a better person.
Can I tack on a question? Who are you going to see?
I just bought tickets yesterday for Jacob Collier, but it's not until 2022. So who knows?
Big plans.
Yeah, I'm not eager to get out there and tour and all that stuff either, because it's just going to be such a shit show with every band in the world's going to be booking, and all the venues are going to be full with different bands that haven't been out for a while, and it's going to be a pain in the ass to get a schedule figured out. And then I also heard that all the promoters and the venues and stuff, they're looking at like fucking all the artists again. They're like, let's redo all these contracts and start paying less. And
this was the time to make the changes, right?
Yeah. They're like, who do you think is going to get fucked when we come back? It's always going to be the artist. They have no leverage. Also, you want to go back out and finally make money after 2 years? Well, we're going to have a different arrangement now. And what are you going to do about it? You're going to go cry? Sell more merch.
Also, I don't want to like rush back into it. You know,
oh,
like,
I don't care about that.
I do. I mean, 50% of Republicans said they have no plans to get the vaccine.
But if, as long as you have the vaccine, doesn't
no,
matter.
No, you can still spread it, and you can.
No, but
it's still, it's not 100%. You know, you can still pass it on to other people.
Did you get the vaccine yet?
Not yet.
You neither.
I would like to.
Me
neither. I'm going to whip up my own batch homebrew. Doug, you want to try my homebrew vaccine?
I'll take the first shot.
It only goes in the tip of the penis, though, unfortunately. That's where it's got to go.
Like into the hole there?
Into the hole, God. Yeah. Because I don't want to mess with making a new hole. We're just going to work.
But you got to get into the
with the holes we got.
It does, yeah.
Huh?
Got to get, in the bloodstream?
No, this is a urinal. It impacts with your urine.
There should be one where you could... A hole that the whole penis can go into that you can kind of...
Can I just say, I've said this before, why can't they just pill this? I mean, why does everything have to be a shot with a needle? Is it big needle?
Why can't we snort it?
It's big needle that's saying like, yeah, you better keep it in the jar, in the vial. We don't want to pill this. I mean, come on, it's all going to the same place.
I'd probably just get destroyed in your stomach acids, Tim.
The only thing... Well, that's true. That's interesting, Doug. You're a smart guy.
I know.
Well, yeah, what about powder? You sniff. There you go. I don't know. What do I know about anything? Who should be listening to me about anything?
I heard Michael Barbaro this morning talking to an expert, and he asked her, should you get the vaccine if you're like not in the category, you know?
Yeah,
and
normally like an ethicist.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like is it ethical to do that? And she said, for the first time, go ahead and do it. Just...
Because before this,
you're like butting in line for people that need it. And he said there's enough vaccine at this point where I would recommend doing that. So
it seems like so many people that I know have found these little loopholes
and lied.
It's not nice to do.
I was going to wait till my turn.
I am waiting my turn.
I'm waiting my turn. I'm not rushing to get it. It's fine. It's all
right,
good.
Right.
There are people I know that were very, very paranoid about it and like very overly cautious, and it really, you know, kept them at home and everything, and they're getting it, and I feel good about that because now I can be with them, and they're not worried. But I'm not as worried about. And this is just me, and I respect everybody. I'm not as nervous about getting it. Maybe that's ignorant. And I'm being careful, and I wear masks, and I think people should wear masks. But
I will not be muzzled just like a mad dog.
Anyway, my loves, one quick note. We're off next week for our own spring break. See, here we go with the spring break nightmare that I've been talking about all day. We're off next week. We're going to be doing some repatching and rewiring here. We're moving this little world over here out into a control room. It's going to be very exciting. We're going to have a little bit more elbow room, hopefully continue to improve the quality of the show. Let's take one more. How about this, Matt? How about a hothead caller and then another chatter, another Zoomer, and then we will move things over to the After Hours experience.
I'm going to flip that real quick. We got a Zoomer ready to go, and then I'll get over to
Matt, you're mad with power, Matt.
Jared Cheeks sent me a Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show clip, so we'll take a look at that.
Okay. Hey, everyone.
Hey-o, what's up, Will and Lauren?
Super big fans, long-time caller, first-time listener, other way around.
Yeah.
But I have a pun for you.
Okay.
For everyone.
We need it.
What do you call a toilet in Italy?
What do you call a toilet in Italy?
A spaghetti.
A pizza. What is it?
Close. Parmesan.
Oh, okay.
Parmesan. I get the John part, but what's the Parm?
I mean, Parma is in Italy, right? It's a place.
A Parmesan.
Well, it's Parmesan cheese and then Parmesan. Yeah.
That's good. That's
giving it good. A D. It's not an F, but it's a D. Not great.
Good enough.
That's all you got? You don't have any more?
I do have one quick synth recommendation for Doug, but I told Matt I'd be quick with this.
Go ahead.
So, Doug, have you heard of the OP1?
Yeah.
By Teenage Engineering?
Ocean Pacific? They make good clothes.
Do you recommend the OP1?
Operator. Have you checked that out? It's pretty amazing. Super fun.
Well, thank you. I'll buy one today.
All right. One more. We'll take a quick.
I like how small they are.
Whoa.
We'll take a very quick Hothead Hotline call, and then there will be a break, and then we'll be back with After Hours, where things get heated, things get controversial. There are arguments to be had every week.
You got mail.
Who's there?
818.
818, coming in from the Deep Valley. The ghost of Brody Stevens joins us on Office Hours.
This is Rat. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Rat.
Yeah, I'm pissed off about having to eat so much, like every single day, morning, afternoon, and night.
I hear that.
And I have an idea, like a solution. I wanted to bounce it off you.
Go ahead. Be bouncing. Get to your bouncing.
It's called Dog Food for Humans. Have you heard of this?
No.
Have you read about this? Dog Food for Humans. It's like kibbles, but
we bounce.
It's not for dogs. It's like it's like for humans, regular.
Sounds just like snack mix.
And so, well, it's just like regular amount of like nutrients and you can stay optimally nutritional. But you don't have to worry. How many times are you out in the car and you're like, oh, what should I eat today? I just don't want to have that conversation anymore.
I know. Well, that's like that.
I can never make up my mind.
That soup that you drink, not soup, that smoothie. What's that called?
Soylent.
Soylent.
Yeah, we're strongly anti-Soylent.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for your call. I hear that. I hear the constant battle with what do you want to do for dinner? What do you want to do for lunch? What should we do? Let's look at the list.
So can I ask a question? Is this a dry kibble kind of thing?
Is it dry or wet?
Is it dry?
Dry. Totally dry.
Can you add water to it and mix it up and make a little gravy there? Remember that? That dog food where you add water to it? Yeah. Yikes. All right, folks. That's our show on this day, March 25th. Happy holidays to all believers in different religions. We'll be in the after hours now. If you're not joining us, join Patreon. Patreon.com/OfficeHoursLive. Official Office Hours merch can be found at officialofficehours.com. Oscar special news coming next week, so stay tuned for that. We'll not be live here, but all my social media channels will be featuring coverage of that. And be blessed. We'll see you in two. Thanks to my guests. Thanks to Doug and Vic and Wes and Alex.
Yes.
Producer Matt.
Thank you.
Putting in the extra effort to join us from the Rocky Mountains.
Yes.
And the Zoomers and the Hotliners. Talk to you soon, folks.
The Pounding.
The Pounding. Quite otherwise, it still will have him.
Okay. Right. Yes. Thank you.
Go crazy. Go crazy. Go crazy. Go crazy. Mama.
Preparation
is true, and if they then decide to live,
come here.
You are not.
That's their concern.
You not are mine. Not.
Help me, Mama.
They're
you
free
are not.
To
you
are not.
Luda, make me a little Mama.
You ever been in a cockpit before?
Wait, Dave, that's a nasty stick.
Beep, 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 beep.